Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
And this morning we're talking to Jezyn James from the Faculty of Engineering. Jezyn is part of the speech research team at the University of Auckland. Kia ora, how are you?
Kia ora, Rachel. I'm nice. It's good. It's been fine.
Thank you very much for coming in this morning. I'm really interested to hear about your research because it's kind of one of those things that directly touches people's lives on the daily. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what your research focuses on? I see you're interested in a lot of speech and language technologies and particularly how some languages are under-resourced in those departments.
Yes, so thank you for the opportunity to talk about this. So my main research focuses speech and language technology, specifically speech technology. And I think all of us are exposed to it these days.
Yeah.
So like Alexa or Siri or someone.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
That's specifically the most relatable thing that you can see. So I started my research in my native language, which is called Malayalam. It is a South Indian language. And that's when I was kind of naturally pushed into working on languages that are not mainstream.
Right.
So as in the well-resourced languages, all the speech and language technology that we see around us is based on a few well-resourced languages like American English, Chinese, etc. So, and I moved to New Zealand and I was part of the speech research group that gave me this wonderful opportunity to work about the languages in Aotearoa, which is New Zealand English and Maori,
mm-hmm.
both of which are not mainstream as in
right.
So that's where I it was kind of an organic progression to have the opportunity to work on these cool languages, I think.
That's really cool. So it must be quite an interesting space because, as you say, it is based, most of this technology is based on these well-resourced, huge, you know, global languages like American English and Chinese. And we see it every day in the way it doesn't necessarily match up with how we use things like pronunciation on maps on Google and things like that. So what exactly does your research look to do with these under-resourced languages, especially the ones here in New Zealand? What are you sort of trying to, I guess, achieve with your research at the moment?
Yeah, so it is, so a reason why these languages are not represented in tech is because the big tech companies do not have a financial incentive to work on languages
right.
that are spoken by less number of people.
Got you.
So that is where we come in. And as you correctly said, we speak differently, right?
Yeah.
But we are forced to change the way we talk so that Alexa or Siri understands us.
Yeah.
And that makes us feel that we are wrong.
Yeah,
but that's not the correct thing. We are all influenced by like our native tongue, our parents, our friends, etc., and the way we talk. So it's our unique way of talking. It's just that the technology is not good enough to understand us. So that's what we do, as in we try to understand how people speak and model our languages so that we have done the research for it. So now we can build technology with it.
Wow, that's
like we're trying to bridge some gap on the work that's not happened in these languages.
So how do you go about bridging that gap? Is it talking to people? Is it having hui? What's the kind of process that you do there?
Yeah, so another main, I think we concentrate on two things. One is data is not there, speech data.
Mm-hmm.
That is a space that we work with the community and with consent from people. Database is collected and we have a group of researchers, including myself. We look at this data and see how it's probably different from a mainstream language.
Yeah.
So we change that and try to model that. And also, I've got the school job as a lecturer at the University of Auckland. So I've got this opportunity to also kind of teach the generation, that the students that come into uni.
Yeah.
So we also teach them a bit of speech and language technology so that we empower them or upskill them to be also able to build technology in their own languages.
Yeah.
So those are a few areas in which we try to do our work. Yeah.
So what do some of those technologies look like, I guess? I mean, you mentioned Siri and Alexa being ones that people probably use daily. What are some of the other ways that, I guess, this technology exists in our day-to-day lives?
Yeah, so some other things are pronunciation aids. That is another thing that this wider speech research group is working on. So when you want to learn a new language,
yeah,
like Te Reo Māori, you use pronunciation aids. But what if the pronunciation aid is made by someone who really doesn't care so much about the language?
Yeah.
They want to make money from the app. That's their aim. So I'm part of this group that takes it very seriously. It's like a lot of trust is there on the technology, so we want to get it right. So that is another area in which the wider team is involved in. Also, we develop text-to-speech synthesizers, which is, again, Siri and Alexa.
Yeah.
But we do it for a New Zealand English accent or a Te Reo Māori voice. Again, that is under development. It's not, well, as good as Siri in its sound, because it's a lot of hours of data that has gone into Siri. In these small languages, we are limited by the data, so we try to do like the best with it, but also test it rigorously so that it is good
useful.
Enough. And also it is useful for the community as well.
So this sounds like it kind of has like a social science aspect as well, where you're talking about kind of processes of decolonization almost through particularly Te Reo Māori and having some sovereignty over how it's used and how it is developed as well through technology. Is this something that is part of the research you're doing, are these conversations that you're having as well?
Yes, definitely. And that is again the community angle that I was talking about. So Māori regard I think everyone regards their data, especially you talk, your speech is your unique taonga. So Māori regard data as taonga.
Mm.
So that means that when the data is given to us as researchers, we don't really own it.
No.
So it's a more of a Western world viewpoint to think that you own the data. So Tehiku Media is a Māori broadcasting media station in Kaitaia, and they advocate data sovereignty, as in researchers are the kaitiaki, or we are the guardians of the data that we have, and we have to ensure that the positive benefits of the technology that comes out of the data goes back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
It is directly, even financially beneficial to Māori, and not to some big tech company that basically takes the data. So this is like a conversation that we have as a group. And also, as I said, being the school role as a lecturer, I have this opportunity to speak to at least, 150 students per year. And that is where I kind of try to weave it into the lectures that I take and tell them that, you know, you have all these data which looks like numbers, but it's really not yours.
Yeah.
You can't really do everything with it. You probably have to think about what the person gave it for you. So that's kind of a conversation we try to have. And we work with this company, Tehiku Media, and they are a Māori-based company, and they usually guide us in all these decisions as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. It sounds like such fascinating research and such a like important thing to be getting right as well. So thank you so much for coming in and speaking to us about it this morning. Jason James from the Faculty of Engineering at the University of Auckland. Have a lovely rest of your Tuesday.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.